What a truth. My heart sure is hungry for him. Amen. There is, in a sense, God has satisfied my hunger. And then yet there's a sense where I just want to continue to feed on the bread of life.
Amen.
Christ himself. And I appreciate the good music today. You have your Bible open to Romans chapter number 6. We're going to continue our study in the book of Romans. We had been studying through the book of Romans, took just a break through the season, and now that we are into a new year and back to life as I like it, which is regimented, structured, and let's move. Let's go forward. Amen. I appreciate the Christmas season, the Thanksgiving season. I do not minimize that. Thank God for all it represents. But I'm ready now to, just get back to realizing what day it is. Amen. I had a man tell me this morning, said, I didn't even realize yesterday was Saturday. How many of you know what that feeling is through the holiday season? Amen. You just lose track of time a little bit, and I do myself. Let me bring you up to date on what's happening here in Romans chapter number 6. We're getting ready to go into a new section of the book. Now, when I say that, I hesitate a little bit because really it's a letter, and it's not a new section, but it is a change of themes. Paul was writing on subjects, and now he's going to switch the subject, and I want to bring you up to date on it. Notice what he says in chapter 6 and verse number 1. I'm going to give you some very important foundational work here on maybe the most important section of Scripture, certainly in the book of Romans, maybe in the entire New Testament when it comes to the Christian life. Not how to become a Christian, but to the Christian life. We're going to talk about sanctification. You say, what in the world does that mean? Well, we're going to talk about it so you'll know what it means. And so the Apostle Paul, knowing that some of the things that he had written was going to generate some questions, asked one himself. He said, I know what you're thinking. Chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? I know what you're thinking because of what I've said, and so I want to address some questions. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, he said. For how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And so he begins to address the life of a Christian. Now, until this point, he's talked about two very important subjects. He's talked about in chapters 1 through 3, condemnation. That word just simply means God's judgment. Condemnation as it deals with sin. Brethren, I want to remind you, I cannot overemphasize, God judges sin. Amen. Let's say it together. God judges sin. He judged it 100 years ago. He judged it 1,000 years ago. He'll still be judging it tomorrow. He judged it in their lives. He'll judge it in our lives. God judges sin. The condemnation dealing with sin. Chapters 1 through 3 deal with that. Then you come to chapter 4, and it's as if Paul the Apostle says, you know, I don't want to leave you hopeless and helpless. I want you to understand that though God judges sin, God has made a way for the sinner to be pardoned from his sin. And so he switches from dealing with condemnation, dealing with sin, and he deals with justification, dealing with salvation. And he says in chapter 5 and verse number 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad for that peace with God? Man is at enmity with God until he comes to Christ, who is the peacemaker between God and man.
Amen.
I am so thankful for that. So thankful. Now he says, I have talked with you about Christ as your substitute, how that Christ's death brought pardon for the penalty of your sin. He said, now I want to talk to you about his life and how that his life is not a substitute or substitution, it is identification. He said, I want to talk to you about who you are in Christ. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. This is, I just believe this with all of my heart. There are so many believers. I'm talking to people that are saved this morning. Now, if you're here today or you're joining us by live stream and you have never realized you are a sinner, I'm going to tell you, God says you're a sinner. You're not a sinner because I said so. You're not even a sinner because you might think so. You are a sinner because God said so. God said we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. It's eternal separation from God. But I'm thankful that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm thankful that people can be saved in the grace of God, aren't you? And Paul begins in the latter part of chapter number 5. I want to show you what he begins to take up, the grace of God. Notice, if you would, in chapter number 5, he says grace. In verse number 15, he talks about the free gift. We could actually go back in chapter 5, verse number 2. He said, by whom also we have access by faith into this what? Grace. Look, if you would, in verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. He's talking about grace, because in verse number 15, right in the middle, he said, for many, or offense of one, many be dead, much more by the grace of God and the gift of grace. Right in the middle of verse number 17 of chapter 5, he talks about the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. In verse number 20, he said, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And so he said, I want you to understand that being saved is not by keeping the law, it's not by your good works, it's by the good grace of God. God has shown man favor that he might be saved. And if you're here and you've never realized you were a sinner, I want you to know that God says you are, but I also want you to know that God said he would show you favor and that you could be saved in his amazing grace by admitting you're a sinner, by turning from your sin and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And if you will do that, God will save you in his grace. Amen. If you're saved, say amen. Amen. That's not all of you, so I'm going to pray somebody get saved this morning. Listen to me. Being saved is the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. Don't you take for granted now. Don't you take lightly what God has placed a great deal of emphasis on. Being saved is important. Now, he says, so now that we're saved, chapter 6, verse 1, now that we've gone from condemnation to we're justified by the grace of God through our faith in the finished work of Jesus, he said, what does that do for us? What does that mean for us? Now, I want you to write this down. Chapter 6, Paul deals with victory. Are you living the victorious Christian life? Can I tell you, there's so many Christians that are not. Oh, my. How I meet so many today that are still living in the bonds and the shackles of their old sin. God says you don't have to live that defeated life. You can live the victorious life. Jesus has purchased victory for you. And so he's going to talk about in chapter 6, victory. In chapter 7, he talks about liberty. Thank God we're free from the law. Amen. Amen. Liberty. So we not only have victory, chapter 6 we'll discuss. Chapter 7, as we move through it, talks about liberty. And then in chapter 7, it talks about security. Saved forever. Amen. We're secure. Nothing, chapter 8 ends, can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so he deals with these subjects. Now let's start back with victory. How can I, now that I'm saved, how can you that have trusted Christ as your personal Savior have victory over sin? Paul said, let me tell you how to do it. He gives us three key words, and I want you to underline them in your Bible. The first word is know. K-N-O-W. Know. This deals with, well, the mind. And then he deals with reckon. That's in verse number 11. Likewise, reckon. You see that word reckon? That deals with the heart. You've got to accept some things by faith that God has done. So he says you've got to know some things, and I'm going to talk to you about that. Then he says you've got to reckon. And then in verse number 13, he uses the word yield. That deals with your will. So Paul said, if you're going to live the victorious Christian life, you're going to have to get some things in your mind. You're going to have to exercise that by faith. And then you're going to have to exercise your will by yielding to what you know and believe by faith. There are so many Christians that live in defeat, no joy, no peace, no victory, because they're ignorant. You say, now, wait a minute, preacher, don't you call me ignorant. Well, let's see what Paul says, okay? Look, if you would. Paul said, ignorance brings defeat. Please listen to me. Ignorance brings defeat. That's why the devil doesn't want you to read your Bible. Hear me now. Say, well, now, preacher, I didn't spend a whole lot of time in my Bible last week. Yeah, the devil's glad about that. And you're ignorant because of it. Now, listen, don't get mad at me now. See, the devil wants to keep you ignorant because he knows when you find out the truth of God's Word, it's going to change your life. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The more truth you know, the freer you are. We've got a lot of Christians bound in the flesh, not exercising the liberty and the victory that comes from the truth of God's Word. That's why when you start to read the Word of God, you get a little tired. The phone may ring. Company may stop by. A thousand things will come to your mind that you could and should be doing. It's a spiritual warfare. You say, oh, now, preacher, you mean that happens to other people too? It happens to all of us. Christians, if it happens to you, say amen so everybody will know. Amen. Amen. It happens, brethren. It's real. It's real. This is real. Listen, I'm not talking to you about some googly gook. I'm not talking to you about some religious jargon. I'm speaking to you about biblical principle. This is real. It's real. If I'm going to have victory in my life, I'm going to have to exercise some biblical teaching. See, doctrine will determine duty. Learning will determine living. The devil wants to keep you ignorant. Notice Paul, what he said. He knew this, and so he said, Roman believers, listen to me. You need to know some things. Notice, if you would, in verse number 3. Know ye not? Are you ignorant? Know ye not? I don't like somebody calling me ignorant. Well, listen, I don't mind being called ignorant. Just don't call me stupid. See, ignorant just means I don't know. I need to be taught. We all need to be taught some things. We all need to learn what our position in Christ is. You didn't get to where you are on your own. You realize that. We all do. And so we need to be teaching and we need to be taught. Look at it. He said it again. Look down if you would now. Look if you would. He said it again in verse number 16. Know ye not? You see that? Know ye not? Don't you know? He's not through. Look in verse number 19. I'm sorry, chapter 7, verse 1. Know ye not? You see how Paul keeps saying that? He's saying, hey, listen, believers, don't be ignorant now. Don't you know? See, he said ignorance is a hindrance to you living the victorious Christian life. Some folks are not living victorious because they don't know how to. And Paul said, I want to cue you in. I want to teach you how to live the victorious Christian life. You do not have to live a defeated life. You are no longer a servant to sin. Say amen with me. Amen. And yet there are many, many Christians that act like, well, I've just got to do it. I've just got to do it. I just have to sin. Paul said, no, you don't. Don't you know? Haven't you heard? You've been set free. And verse number 2, he said, you're dead to sin. Now watch this now. Go back to chapter number 6 and look, if you would, in verse number 2. God forbid, for how shall we that are dead to sin. You see, I went from being dead in sin, now listen to me, dead in my trespasses and sin, Ephesians 2, I went from being dead in sin to thank God I got saved, and now I'm dead to sin. That's what this book teaches, brethren. That means this, listen, sin no longer has dominion over me. You read these scriptures and you'll read over and over and over and over again where God says you are not the servant of sin any longer. You have been set free. And you do not have to be a servant of sin. Now, if you choose to be, you put yourself under the old bondage that you've been set free from. It's your choice. You say, preacher, I'm not happy. I don't have joy. I don't have victory. I find myself on a constant roller coaster, up and down, off and on, hot and cold, in and out. I'm inconsistent in my Christian experience. What could it be? Could be that you're ignorant. And to be ignorant means to be impotent. Because what God is going to show us here through the Apostle Paul is how to have power. See, we say all the time, knowledge is power. I don't know why we don't believe it when it comes to the book, but it's so. I'm going to say that again. When you're in the business world, when you're in school, we run around saying, knowledge is power, knowledge is power. But somehow when we get in church, it goes away. It's still true in the church. Knowledge is power. You want to know how to live the victorious Christian life? Romans 6 will really get you on the road. I hope you'll listen. Just going to lay out a few principles, and then we'll get into them as the weeks go by, but I want to lay out a few principles. He says you've got to know some things. The Apostle Paul uses this word know in chapter 6 over and over again. Verse number 3, know ye not. Look at verse 6, knowing this. Verse number 9, knowing that. Verse number 16, know ye not. Paul said there's just some things you need to know. Now, what are they? Now, these are facts, okay? I'm not talking about feelings. Facts. Facts. So he said, first of all, he said, you are dead to sin. Go back to chapter 6, verse number 2. He said, you don't have to continue in sin. You don't have to. You're dead to sin. Sin does not have dominion over you. Let's read down through here. He said in verse number 2, he said, you are dead to sin. Look at verse number 3. Know you not that so many as us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his what? Death. You identify with his death. See, when Jesus not only died for me, now listen to me, Jesus died as me. Listen. We identify with Christ's death. I am crucified, Paul said in another letter, Galatians. I am crucified with Christ. What's that make you? Dead. Amen. I want you to get this. You've got to reckon yourself dead. Your sins are buried. Sometimes when we talk about the gospel, we talk about the death and we talk about the resurrection. But I want to tell you, I can't find a place really where the gospel is mentioned where the burial was not mentioned with it. There is a component of the gospel that we need to get back to, and that's the burial. Amen. Some folks need to understand your sins have been buried. Amen. Never to be remembered no more. And if you bring them up and if you get back involved in them, it's your choice. It's your choice. So here's what he said. Number one, know some things. What do I need to know? Well, I want you to write this down. The reality is that Christ died for me. He died for me. And when he died for me, he died for my sin. And he loosed me from the power of my former master. See, I was a slave to sin. A slave. I didn't have a choice in that. I was born into that. Now listen to me. My first birth made me a slave to sin by nature. I was born with the Adamic nature. In Adam, we all die. Didn't we learn that in chapter number 5 of Romans? We're in Adam. We received his nature. When Adam sinned, he plunged man into condemnation before God. And now we're all born with a sin nature. But now wait a minute. Don't leave here saying, curse the day that Adam sinned. Because the Bible says that we're not only sinners by birth, we're sinners by choice. Jesus said that man loved darkness rather than light because his deeds are evil. So don't you say, well, now, you know, I would quit sinning if I could. No, you choose to. And you choose to because of that old sinful nature. Now, stay with me. But then Jesus comes. Amen. And he lives without sin. Amen. And he dies for sin. And when he died, thank God his death had my name on it. Amen. Amen. And so did it yours. You say, oh, yeah, I know where you're going, preacher. You believe in that predestination. You believe in that Calvinism. Oh, whoa. You don't know me very well. I believe in whosoever will. But you listen very carefully to me. If there's Calvinists listening today, listen real careful. Actually, I want you to turn there. 1 John chapter number 2, because I want you to see what the Bible says. I'm not going to quote a book. Well, I am, but it's the book. 1 John chapter number 2, my little children. You see that? I haven't gotten there yet. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. That kind of sounds like what Paul was saying back in chapter 6, doesn't it? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. John said it this way, I'm writing unto you who were saved, my little children, he said, don't sin. Now, if any man does sin, you see that? You ought not sin. But when you do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And all God's people ought to say with a humble heart, thank God, amen, praise the Lord. We have a lawyer, we have a representative, we have an advocate. Amen. Then he said in verse number 2, he is the propitiation for our sins. Now, could that mean that, oh yeah, the elect. He's the propitiation for the elect sin only. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says he's the propitiation for our sins. John was including himself as part of the saved. He said, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of who? The whole world. Now there's your election. God elected to send Jesus to die for the sins of the whole world. Well, how could that be? You said your name had Jesus' death on it. Can I tell you that everyone's did? You just need to claim the prize. Go back, if you would, to Romans chapter 6, and we'll continue on to our next thought. But I want to give you this before, as you're turning your way and making your way back to Romans 6. You see, when Christ died, he died for the sins of the whole world. If you're here today and you've never been saved, I want you to know Jesus died for your sin. And he was buried. And thank God he rose again the third day for your justification. He did it for you. Amen. He did it for you. Now, whether you claim the gift or not, well, that's up to you. He's offered the gift. He's provided the gift. We just come through Christmas season. We had a couple of people in our neighborhood that didn't receive their gift. They didn't. They didn't take the gift we had for them. So you've got to claim the gift. John 1:12. But to as many as what? Received him. Received the gift. The gift's been, listen, it's been provided, been paid for, been presented. You've got to claim it. That's right. That's where God's end of it ends, or his part of it ends, and your part of it begins. Have you claimed the gift? So don't leave here saying, well, you know, I must not be in that number. Oh, listen, if you have air in your lungs, you're in the number. Christ died for you. So he said, I want you to understand something. He said, if you want to live victorious, you've got to understand Christ died for you, but he also died as you, and now you're dead to some things. Please don't miss this. You're dead to sin. Sin has no more dominion over you. Look, if you would, in verse number 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. You're dead to sin. That master no more has control over you. You're dead to that. You don't have to do what it says anymore. You have a choice. Look at verse number 8. And if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that being dead, that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. You say, well, yeah, death has no more dominion over him, but what about me? Sin has no more dominion over you, because death has no more dominion over him. Sin, look at verse number 14, hath no more dominion over you. Look at verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not a slave to sin anymore. You need to know this. You're dead to sin. Christ died for you. You don't have to be a servant of sin. Somebody say amen with me. Amen. See, we're ignorant of this. We're running around. We're running around making statements like, well, you know, I just can't help it. Can I tell you that we're going to see here in just a moment that when everybody is tempted, you have two decisions. And they involve the same word, yield. You either yield to the temptation, Satan, and sin, or you yield to God, resist the devil, and you will not sin. I know this is a Baptist church, but I'm preaching to you the Bible. I don't care what these folks say. Well, you know, you just got to sin. Nah, you sin when you choose to, just like me. Yeah. And somehow, if we can make ourselves believe, well, you know what, I just couldn't help it, we kind of justify our actions. I don't want to get to that place in my life, and you shouldn't either. And Paul says, shall we continue in sin? Look at it again, chapter 6, verse 1, that grace may abound. Well, I'm just going to keep on sinning because I know God will forgive me. Wait a minute now, you've got the wrong view of grace. You need to know some things. I need to know some things. He said, don't you know that when Christ died for your sin, that he not only died for you, he died as you, and now you can be dead to sin? Now, how am I going to do that, preacher? Well, he said, first of all, you need to know that. You need to know that now. Christ has defeated death, sin, hell, the grave. He's defeated it for you. Amen. How many of you believe when you die, you're going to resurrect from the grave? Raise your hand. If you believe that, raise your hand real high now. Okay. You mean to tell me that God has the power to resurrect your dead body, but it doesn't have the power to take that vice away from you? This is what Paul said. Yeah. This is what he said. Yeah. He said when he died for your sin. He died to conquer sin. He's dead to sin. You are too. But you just got to reckon yourself. Look at verse 11. Here's our second word. Not only do we know some things, do you know that Christ died for your sin? Do you know that you are set free? Do you know that you are not a sin to Satan anymore? You're not a slave to Satan. Now you have a choice. You have a choice. Before you didn't have the choice. But now you do. How, preacher? How? How can this be? You've been baptized. I don't mean in there. I mean the body. We've been baptized into Christ. I am a part of Christ's body. I'm a part of Him. I'm in Christ. Amen. Sin has no effect on Christ. I'm in Christ. Yes, I'm in the body. Don't miss this. I'm in the body. That means the Holy Spirit's in me. Write this verse down, 1 Corinthians 12:13. The Bible says, we have been baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of God lives in every believer. Every believer. The Spirit of God lives in you. If you're saved, the Spirit of God lives in you. Peter called it this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. He said, the divine nature of God lives in you. Now, why is that important? Look at verse 11. Now that you know that Christ died not only for you, but as you, and that you do not know, you have changed masters. See, when you were born into sin. Don't miss this. Your first birth, you didn't have a choice. You don't get to choose. Let's see now, how am I going to enter into the world? I think I'm going to go the sinless way. No, you come in as a sinner. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to make this as simple as I know how. This doctrine, it's got a little depth to it, and I'm trying to simplify it so we can all wrap our mind around it, because I want you to understand something. When you came into the world, you didn't have a choice. Your first birth, you were born into sin. And so you're going to die because of that sin. Now, the second birth, you do have a choice. Amen. If you get saved, you're going to have the choice in that. When you get saved, when you get born again, that's the second birth, you have a choice. You have a choice. Now, what's the difference in that? Do you know what a servant is that doesn't have a choice? He's in bondage. He is. You know what a servant is who does have a choice? He's not in bondage. He's a bond slave. Look it up, the word, brethren. It's true. That means I have a choice, but I'm going to serve anyway. Here, I got to serve. I was born, I'm bent toward this. It's just what I do by nature. It's just what I do. I was born into sin. I'm going to sin by birth and by choice, and I'm a sinner, and there's nothing I can do. But I make a choice to get born again, to get saved, and now the Spirit of God comes in me, and now I have the power to withstand sin. The power of sin has been broken in my life, and now I can say, free, thank God I'm free. Don't have to live that life anymore. Amen. Jesus paid the penalty of sin, but he also broke the bondage of sin. And that if I will trust what he has done, look at verse number 11 of Romans chapter 6, likewise. See that word reckon? Oh, it's a very important word. It's an accounting word. It's a bookkeeping word. It means you can count on it. All right? Now, most of us have banking accounts. You probably have a banking account, right? And so you just look at your statement at your bank, and it says you have, well, mine says I have $20 in it. And so yours might say it has $40 in it. Might say it has 10. Might say it's in negative. I don't know. And then something comes along. Let's say I have $100 in my banking account. And I want to buy something. And I say, let me see here. It costs $100. I've got 20. Can't buy. Then Sharon says, but we have $100 in the bank. I'm going to buy it. Why? Because the statement says, I have it in there. This is what that word reckon means. You have to live like Christ did pay the price. You have to live. You say, I can't see that, preacher. We don't walk by sight. Don't you miss this. We do not walk by sight. We walk by faith. God said it. See, that's what we go by. We go by what God said, not how we feel. I don't feel like I'm free. Not how we feel. God said, you do not have to be a servant to sin. That's your statement. Are you going to live by what's in your pocket or what's on your statement? You listening to me today? So that's what that word reckon means. Likewise, reckon. That's an accounting term. It's a bookkeeping term. It means live your life acting on what you know. I walk around like, well, I'm just defeated. I'm just an old sinner. I'm just in bondage to sin. I'm just a servant to Satan. No, you're not. If you're saved, you've been set free. Live like it.
Amen.
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 That's what he's saying. I read the story this past week. It was very interesting. It was about this subject. It was the story of two men who run up. They were hiking, and they run up on a turtle that had his head cut off, but it was still moving. And one of them said, look at there. That turtle's had his head severed, and it's still alive. Another guy said, that turtle's not alive. He said, well, it's moving. And he said, well, yeah, it's moving because it's alive. He said, there's no way that turtle could be alive because it's got his head cut off. He said, but he's moving. So they go back and forth. Here comes a third guy, catches up with them on the trail. And he said, hey, what's going on here? And they said, we've got this turtle here. Maybe you can decide for us and break the tie here. The turtle, head cut off, moving. I say he's alive. My friend says he's not. And that guy looked over and he said, you know what? He said, I'm going to tell you exactly what this is. That turtle's dead. He just don't know it yet. You say, what does that have to do with anything? That's where a lot of Christians, they just can't get it. You're dead to sin. You just don't know it yet. You just need to realize you're dead to sin. Jesus broke that bondage. Listen, you do not have to live that way. If you do, you're choosing to. You're dead. You just don't know it yet. It reminded me of when President Lincoln set the slaves free. The Emancipation Proclamation. Many of them didn't even realize it because the word hadn't reached them yet. Could it be that I'm speaking to some Christians today, or maybe by live stream, that you've been set free, you just don't realize it yet? Because you're not reckoning. You're not acting on what Christ has done for you. All right? So number one, know. Know. That deals with the mind. Know some things. Get in your Bible. Study your Bible. Come to Sunday school. Come to Sunday school. Come to Sunday night service. Come to Wednesday night service. Get you a daily Bible reading regimen. Listen to some preaching tapes. Amen. Find out what this book says. This book is a wealth of knowledge, and knowledge is power. And power is victory. No. That's our mind. Reckon. Look at verse number 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Live like it. That's what he's saying. Live like you're dead. Isn't that something? Live like you're dead. That's what the Word of God says. Listen, this is not, again, this is not some kind of religious jargon. This is biblical principle. Don't you let the devil whisper in your ear, that won't work for me. It won't work if you don't do it. That's the only way it won't work for you as a Christian. I'm telling you today, if you're tired of inconsistencies, if you're tired of sin having dominion over you, and it can and it will take dominion over you, over me, over any believer that will not apply this biblical principle to their life, you will live in defeat as a Christian. And you will not enjoy purpose. Oh, you've been pardoned, but the devil will not allow you to enjoy your purpose in your pardon. Jesus set you free for a purpose. And it wasn't to live as you desire. It was to live as he desires and to do his will. Final thought, and we close this morning. What's the third word, preacher? Well, know. Did you write that word down? Know. Know some things. Number two, reckon. Act on what you know. Again, verse number 11. Reckon. Act on the fact that you are dead indeed unto sin, but alive. Now, if I'm dead, but yet alive unto God, what does that mean? That means that not only when Christ died, that I died with him. Don't miss it now. When he resurrected, I resurrected in his likeness. I have been imparted. You who are saved have been imparted with the resurrecting power of God. The same power. Listen to me, Christian. The same power that brought back Jesus from the dead lives in you. Now, I want you to list a sin in your life that you're struggling with. That power that I just named, that power, that resurrection power. Turn to Romans chapter 1 just for a moment. Turn back a few. That Romans 1:4 says, it's by the resurrection from the dead, by the Spirit of holiness. You get that? The Spirit of holiness. That's what resurrected him. The Spirit of holiness. There's power in holiness. And that same power is in you. Please don't miss that. Say, preacher, I want to live different. I do. I'm tired of the way I'm living. The Spirit of holiness has given you the power. That resurrection power that resurrected Jesus from the grave lives in me, lives in you. Can you think of one sin that Spirit could not get power over? See, the problem is not in the power of the Spirit. It's in the power of the will. Look at verse number 13. Look at it. It said this, neither yield. Don't you yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto God. I wish I had time to go into some of this. We're going to spend some time here. See, you have the power. Who are you yielding to? Are you yielding to sin? Look back in verse number 6. He said, you've crucified that old man. And he said, why? And he said, that the body of sin might be destroyed. That body of sin, yeah. That vehicle that sin carries out its dastardly deeds in. It's been destroyed. It's been rendered helpless. Why do you keep reviving it and letting it carry out the sins and the desires and the lust of the flesh? That's what Paul's saying. Leave him dead. and live the new life, the new nature, the new creature, right? He said, look at the latter part of verse number 6, that henceforth we should not serve sin. You let that old crucified man come back to life, now you're going to be serving sin again. Listen to me. Leave him dead, Paul. That's why Paul said, I die daily. I die daily. Old Lester Roloff said, I jump out of the bed, first thing I do is jump in the grave. Do you die daily? Do you really want to live a life of victory? You know why a lot of Christians have no joy? I'm convinced of it. Even in my own life, when I find myself, my joy has been zapped. My vision has been blurred. It's because I've allowed sin to creep into my life. There's sin that's made its way through a crevice or through some avenue of my life, and I've allowed it to carry out its purpose in my life, and I need to be dead to that. You say, well, preacher, I'm there. What can I do? Let's stand to our feet. We'll go back and finish up here. The Bible says there that you can either yield yourself and your members as members of righteousness unto God, or you can yield yourself and your members of unrighteousness unto the flesh and self and serve sin. But the choice is yours. You've got to start out with knowing some things. Jesus died for me. He broke the bondage. Sin has no more power over me. It has no more dominion in case I let it. I need to act on the fact of what God has done for me. I need to claim the victory that's been won for me. And that doesn't necessarily mean outward sin. It could be sins of the mind. See, we have to fight, brethren. Please don't miss this. Please don't miss this. Sometimes I fear that we have this mindset, just bring the devil on. I'm going to fight the devil. Well, you're going to lose every time. You're going to lose every time. What did Paul say do? He said, yield yourself to God, then fight the devil. What did James say do? Submit yourselves unto God and then resist the devil. See, there's steps that have to be taken. But you've got to know. Ignorance is destroying people's lives. We think that we can just get saved and live this flippant, casual life and experience all the joy and victory and everything that God offers to the Christian that's mentioned and promised in the Bible. But brethren, that's just not so. We need to bow before the Word of God. We need to hide God's Word in our heart. We need to do the way of God. We need to submit to the will of God. Then, thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. See, then you're going to have the joy of the Lord in your life. Right, brethren? It's true. So, well, now I just don't know, preacher. Well, there you go. There you go. Not reckoning. God said it. Are you going to reckon it? Are you going to live like it? Are you going to live like that God has broken the power of sin in your life and given you His Holy Spirit that you could live victorious? But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You've got it. He didn't say, but thanks be unto God who's going to give us the victory. He said, but thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory. Got it now, brethren, right now. And you can have it going forward. But you've got to know some things. You've got to act on what you know. And then you've got to yield accordingly. That's where your will comes in. Give you a couple illustrations. We're going to ask the pianist to play. So the devil comes to you and you've got a choice. Somebody says something against you. You don't like what he says. Or she. Well, now you have a choice. You can either yield your instruments as unrighteousness unto sin. And you can say, well, I'm going to tell you what I think about old so-and-so. He's a low-living, sorry, some blah, 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 blah. Okay, see, you made that choice. You yielded to that. Or you can say, you know, I'm not going to say what's unkind. I'm not going to allow my mouth, my tongue to speak what's unkind and clean. I'm going to pray for him. I'm going to use my tongue to do what's right. I'm going to pray for my enemies like Jesus said. You say, that's hard, preacher. Yeah, I know. God asks us to do hard stuff. See, when we won't do the hard thing, then we end up living a defeated life. Men, woman walked by, And you look and you say, wow. And you'll look again, you got to say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to let these members, my eyes, look on things I shouldn't look on. Because God said I shouldn't do that. And I'm not going to do it. And so you don't do it. Or you could say, well, you know, just, I mean, come on, I'm just going to one more look. And then the look turns into a gaze, and the gaze turns into more than that. And before you know it, you've lust in your heart, and you've yielded your members as instruments of unrighteousness and sin. You see? We could go on and on and on here. These feet can carry you places you know you shouldn't be. Your mind can think things you know you shouldn't think. But you're going to have to know, and you're going to have to reckon, and you're going to have to yield. Can I encourage somebody here today to take this biblical principle and apply it for victorious living? Would you bow your head with me? I know that I know. I preached a message God laid on my heart. I've had peace about it all week. I've had peace. I want to help somebody.